Hello, good evening everyone, and welcome to this meeting of the Stafford Council Planning Committee. My name is Brendan McKeown, and I'll be chairing this meeting. Just a couple of points before we start, though. If you have a mobile phone, can you please switch it off or switch it to silent? And can I ask members of the public in the gallery to refrain from commenting during the discussions? On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, officers from the Planning Department will present each application as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes, and I will indicate when they have 1 minute to go. Ward members are entitled to speak for up to 5 minutes, and again, I'll give 1 minute warning. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Borough Council website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy the pleasures of our colleagues in Parliament, and also I remind members that we are, because of the general election now, that we are in the pre-election period known as PERD. Members are reminded that we are present to consider the matters before us on subject to the planning policy, national framework, local plan and planning committee procedure rules. A special meeting of the planning committee will follow this meeting immediately afterwards to consider a large-scale major application. So, in return to the agenda, we have the minutes, which I've just signed. And do we have apologies?
Councillor Phillips, substituted by Councillor James, Councillor Nixon, substituted by Councillor Thorley, and Councillor Fordham, substituted by Councillor Kane.
Thank you. And members of our declaration, members' interests or their lobbying that they may have been subjected to? No? Delegated applications. I'm going to go to deferred applications. We have two items on the agenda tonight which feature because they were deferred decision previously. This means that only those members who considered the application, the original application, will be able to speak. So on the first agenda item, 23/38196, which I believe is Whittaker Avenue. Members allowed to speak on this would be Councillor Brian Cross, Councillor Peter Jones, Councillor Rob Kenny, and Councillor Scott Spencer, and myself. I'm afraid other members of the public committee will not be able to take part in that discussion. So, I will hand you over to the chair. Those members who cannot take part in the debate will have to remove themselves from the front seats, please. Thank you. And just the delegated positions are published on the Council website.
Since the deferral, the application has been further amended with regards to the enclosure of the rear garden. This is in respect of the reduction in the height of the proposed fence by 1.4 metres, so it's the same height as the existing, which I'll show you as a roof presentation. Clarification of the proposed fence along the northeast boundary of the neighbour, set behind the neighbour's wall, and F planting will then set behind the proposed fence. The proposed fence slightly set back by 0.5 metres to the back of the pavement with hedge fronting to the front. Members will know that the main issue in this case is the impact on, of the proposals on the council fields of the area. And further to the amendments, officers still consider the enclosure of the rear garden to be acceptable. So far, I'll run through the presentations as I did before. So we have the application site outlined in red. We have Bodmin Avenue here and Woodicombe Avenue running at the top, with Broughton Avenue going along here. So again, just the area. So, in addition to the sequence of five photographs that we had last time, members did seek to for officers to go to take more photographs to show a better context of the area. And we have further photographs, A to D along this area, and then E, F and G to 24 Woodicombe Avenue, which I'll go back to on the area. So, as before, this is looking up Woodicombe Avenue. We have the application site on the left. This is the tree which is referred to in the report. This is looking in the opposite direction to the south, the junction of Woodicombe and Bodmin Avenue. This is the application property, and this is the area where the proposed access will be located, and this is the existing fence which the proposed fence would now be to the same height. This is looking just a wider view, and again this is image 5 looking at number 26A Avenue. So here's the additional images. This is a wider view of the junction with Woodicombe Avenue. And this is looking to the west along Bodmin Avenue. You can see that there are two fences in this location. Fences don't have planning permission, but looking at Google Street Imagery, they've been there since at least 2009, so they will be immune from any enforcement proceedings. And this is looking in the opposite direction. This is 3 Stockton Lane, which again, the fence doesn't benefit from planning permission, but has been in place in situ since 2009, so again, it's immune from any potential enforcement proceedings. And you may just be able to see here, there's a wall at 5 Stockton Lane. Now, that does benefit from planning permission back in 1991. Let's go back to the sequence. So here we have the last 3 images. These are taken at 24 Woodicombe Avenue, which is this property here. So here we are looking down Woodicombe. The application property is around about here. This is the junction with Broughton Avenue. Here's the fence, 24, looking north, and then again looking south, again here. This fence in question, again, doesn't benefit from planning permission, but has been in situ since 2009, according to Google Street Imagery, and therefore will be immune from planning control. These are some photographs which show the proposed access and the fence in question. So along this boundary here and here, hedgerow planting will be on the outside, and then here will be on the inside of the fence going down here. This is an image showing the hedgerow planting when first planted, the height it would be. And then this shows the height of the hedge when mature. So this is looking towards the property from Woodicombe. This is the side of the property, and this would be the boundary to the north. subject to the conditions listed. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
I don't think we have anyone registered to speak in support or objection to this. So, Councillor Edgeley, would you like to come forward? I don't think we have anyone registered to speak, either in support or objection.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, everyone. I actually thought Mr. Shedd was going to speak as one of the members of the public.
We're allowed to informed.
Sorry.
You have to register by 5 o'clock, I think, on Monday. Councillor Edgeley, you have.
Right. Thank you very much. Right. Good evening, Committee. Thank you for giving me time to speak on this application. Gwynedd Avenue, its entrance from Bodmin Avenue, is a beautiful part of our estate. It is a pleasure to see, especially in the summer months, when it is pleasing to the eye and brings joy to many residents. It is a variety of colour, and as the photographs, you've not shown the photo, sorry, yeah, thank you. It is a variety of colour, as the photographs show, and it has won many community awards from Staffordbury Council. What this application is saying, now let's spoil it. It is a sad state of affairs when one person wants to spoil it to the detriment of many of the residents. If this application is granted, it is in its entirety, it will open the floodgates for high-rise fencing to the entrance to the other parts of the estate. Whilst I admit there are various fences throughout the estate, none are at the entrance to other roads, for instance, Burford Road, Huntington Close, St Austell Close, Port Leven Close, Dawlish Avenue. Page 5 of the MPPF states planning policy and decisions should play an active role in guiding developments towards sustainable solutions, but in doing so should take into account to reflect the character needs and opportunities for the area. Sorry, I do apologise. On page 97 of Stafford Borough Plan 12.5, it states development within Stafford Borough must be of high design standard to enhance the quality of the built environment that reflects the character, settings, and local context, including features that contribute to the local distinctions of the area. This application does neither. Trees. Why are the trees shown on the plan? There are two beautiful trees quite close to this application, which enhances the look of the area. If they were to be damaged in any way on Woodingham Avenue, can I say I thought we were supposed to be protecting trees, not decimating them? Committee, can I also please take into account that it is a very busy pathway for children arriving and leaving Walton High School. For all the reasons I have stated, I ask the committee to reject this application. If the committee is so minded to approve, can I ask that the hedge is of an evergreen nature and that the trees are protected with an agricultural impact assessment? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor. So you've heard from the officers, you've heard from the board member. Four members can take part in this. Who would like to go first?
Spencer?
I sort of state what I did previously, because I do not see how this does have a negative impact on Woodingham Avenue. I think the person making the application is making every effort to hide the planting being moved back by half a metre. It's quite clear from the photos shown by the officers that this is not set at precedent, that's already been set. And if anything, this is an improvement on some of the fencing that's been completed previously. And it's not, as far as I can see, on the entrance of Woodingham Avenue, set back from that. I think it's affecting that street view. And with regards to the trees, I cannot see how that tree, which is outside the application area anyway, would be impacted in any way from the installation of the centre. So I would go to approve this application.
Thank you. Councillor Lockhead.
If that's a proposal by Councillor Spencer, I'll second that proposal. I would agree with it.
I know there's only four of you, so does anyone wish to speak before we go to that vote? Okay. Councillor Cross.
Yes, I had my concerns about this when it first came through. However, I'm seeing what our officers have presented, as much as it will have an impact, a small impact on the street sign, others have already impacted on that, and as such, I can't find any grounds to refuse this. But it is accepted. I would suggest the conditions that the ward member quoted be added in to.
Members, can I just refer you to reference page 14 of the agenda? This is the list of conditions. So, starting with condition 4, we have the landscaping scheme being secured, and then the third paragraph down, that there's a provision there for any if any parts of the hedgerow become damaged, lost, or whatever, within 5 years, that has to be replaced. And then condition 6, that secures an arboricultural method statement as well, in terms of the root protection area for that street. So they are all there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right, it has been proposed by Councillor Scott Spencer and seconded by Councillor Bob Kenny to approve this application. Can I see a show of hands, please? That's 4. Unanimous. Thank you very much. The application is approved. Subject to the conditions. Did you want the condition about the evergreen? Could that be added? Okay. Now move on to application number 23, 38, 53, 5, land adjacent to St. Peter's Garden. So, if you'd be pleased to know, members, you can all be joined at this meeting. Thank you.
Allows the use of a dwelling house by occupants where the element of care is present. provided. The definition of care and planter is to quote paragraph 3.10, and this is why the term assisted living has now been removed from the description of the proposal, unlike the that on the adjacent site. The responsibility for ensuring that the occupiers of the proposed bungalows meet the terms of the class C3B therefore rests with the operator. Any breach of planning control of the adjacent site should therefore be dealt with in the relevant part of planning by legislation with respect to any necessary enforcement proceedings and other legislation such as antisocial behaviour. It is acknowledged that reputations have been received in respect of the outer parts of the adjacent site concerning noise and disturbance, antisocial behaviour and car parking disturbance. In terms of car parking, this proposal meets relevant car parking standards and is therefore for the operator to ensure that the spaces are appropriately managed. I'll just run through the presentation sequence now. So this is the site, the garages, we have the adjacent site from this image under construction. We have four photographs. So the first one is looking down the side towards property.
Sorry, because it's very, very difficult to see these pictures.
Yeah.
Can we adjust the lighting in some way so they can be seen by the dimensions?
Reiterate
reiterate our key concerns with the application. It's already been noted that in the previous application, which has been refused, is not materially different to the one we're discussing today, which to me just confirms the willful lack of regard the applicant has for the community. In no particular order, we reiterate that the antisocial behaviour and parking issues, the vicinity has been plagued by ongoing antisocial behaviour, compounded by parking issues that exacerbate the situation. Staff parking around the green, which is allocated for residents, consumes on average two-thirds of the spaces, but often more, depriving residents of amenity and disrupting the tranquility of our community, particularly during shift changeovers. At 8 p.m, this period is marked by noise pollution from idling cars, loud conversations at the regularly impinge upon peace of the households, a situation that worsens in the warmer months with necessitating opening windows. The redevelopment of the derelict garages into adequate parking facilities, coupled with appropriate landscaping to mitigate noise, presents a clear solution rather than further intensification of the site. There's been a dismissal of our community concerns. The application's failure to recognise antisocial behaviour and dismissing it as when it's a significant issue is concerning. It indicates a lack of engagement with community concern and a disregard for the documented incidents. The development's impact on the accessibility and safety of St. Peter's Gardens, a vital community asset, cannot be overstated. The National Planning Policy Framework mandates that developments should promote health, well-being and community cohesion, a standard the current proposal fails to meet. There are environmental concerns, public health concerns. Public Health England's 2020 Improving Access to Green Space Review highlights the urban heat island effect. The south-facing gardens, which become unbearably hot during heat waves, will only suffer more with proposed development. The increase in heating, traffic, air conditioning will intensify the heat of surrounding residents. These environmental and health impacts require serious consideration, which has been notably absent in the application. Misrepresentation of community engagement, references to minutes from residents' meetings which were not verified or agreed upon by the residents are misleading. These minutes drafted by the care provider's representatives without consent or validation paint an inaccurate picture of community sentiment and engagement. Claims of improved relations are unfounded and do not reflect the continued strong opposition to development's impact on our community. There's been a mental health impact, a notable one. Several residents are now undergoing treatment for mental health issues, to a direct result of the current development, and that disruption has caused the community. We all appreciate the desperate need for the housing of this nature, but it cannot possibly be deemed reasonable to create it at the detriment of an established, cohesive and peaceful community.
Thank you very much, well done. We now have a supporter, Mr. Malkin. Again, you have 3 minutes. We'll give you a nod after two. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and good evening, members of the Planning Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of our client's plan application. Members will recall this proposal from a previous meeting of the committee, where a similar proposal was turned down. The revised application seeks to provide further clarity on the material planning considerations associated with the proposal. Proving beyond any doubt, this application should be considered in the same manner as any other application of residential development across the board. You offered an excellent report to this committee, very clearly support the applicant's case and cuts to the noise associated with the scheme, concluding that it's an appropriate development and one which will be supported by this committee. In highway terms, the appropriate length of car parking is provided in accordance with adopted planning policy, and no objections have been raised on the County Council highways to the proposals. The design of the dwellings fits in the failing character of the area and does not give rise to any immediate issues, whilst there are no technical matters that preclude the granting of planning permission. Throughout this process, the applicants have sought to be entirely transparent with the council. At 500 drawings were managed and operated by operations, the applicants could have simply put in an application for two bungalows and utilised them in the same manner as they're proposed to. They could also buy any house in the town and allow that to be managed by operations without the need for any form of planning consent. It is clear that there's a need for dwellings of this type of stature. Aspirations were closely with Staffordshire County Council and the Integrated Care Board to house suitable people in the homes. All of the residents come from Staffordshire, and aspirations provide occupiers with a home of their own close to family and friends outside of an institutionalised setting. Those who require a level of care for whatever reason should not be discriminated against. They should be given the opportunity to live an independent life as is possible with somewhere to call home. Instances of employees concerned with that social behaviour are not intrinsically linked to supported housing. They are a wider societal issue and can be found anywhere across the country. As your officer states, if issues arise, these will be covered by separate legislation, as it will be in any location. The conditions suggested by your officers that limit the occupation units to C3. This is supported by the applicant and will ensure the occupation property does not fall into a C2 use of the residential institution. As members were made aware prior to what earlier, the applicants have submitted an appeal alongside an application for costs against the fees refusal. Both of these submissions will be withdrawn should the application be approved this evening.
1 minute.
Thank you. Whilst appreciating this is a contentious application, members have to deal with one planning merits. In planning terms, this is a clinical case. The scheme complies with all relevant policies and should be granted approval at this meeting. Thank you for your time and thank you again for your officers for completing the high quality and detailed report for members. We are hoping that you can follow your officers' recommendation and grant planning permission for the scheme. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm now going to call Ward Member Councillor Carl Cook. You have 5 minutes, Councillor Cook.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Good evening, members. Well, Chair, here we are again. I see there are changes to the application and we move from assisted housing to category 3B housing. Well, Mr. Chairman, one might say, if you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. One wonders why the former term was accepted by planners in the first place, if it has now been changed. Whatever it is called, Chair, the development is still in the wrong place, because it was a delegated decision by a planner which has created a rod for the council's back and which has resulted in much additional workload for the council's ASP team and the police. To reiterate, Chair, residents are sympathetic to the people house there, but residents of this hitherto peaceful area have been subjected to very poor behaviour, including screaming and shouting at all times of the day and night, the use of sexist and obscene language. For additional evidence of this, Chair, look no further than the evidence provided by the ASB team on page 42 of the report, where they wish to highlight some inaccuracies in the supporting documentation. They state that reports of ASB began after the first occupation of the development. It was a peaceful area before. The police weren't called out. There were no ASB incidents. But after the occupation, they all began, and it all kicked off. The reports received link directly to the existing bungalows. There are many incidents of noise and increased activity when carers' shifts start and finish, as we've already heard. The teams have continued to work with aspirations to address their concerns, but the behaviour continues. In other words, aspirations haven't dealt with those concerns and about that behaviour. Other parts of this report state that although the planning statement says that support staff will nip ASB in the bud, that hasn't been the case with the existing accommodation. So what will change, Chair? Also, what is meant by the only appropriate individual will be housed within the bungalows? One individual has already been rehoused due to extreme behaviour that impacted on an adjacent resident. This report, the report on that page, also queries the sufficiency of car parking with reasons. Members have been able to read that report from the team, from the borough team. The report also, Chair, the committee knows that the development is adjacent to a number of houses and back gardens in St. Peter's Gardens and the Brandons. And the noise and the language can be heard clearly by residents and their families and friends, including the elderly and young children, when they're in the garden. Residents are continuing to send completed monitoring forms together with audio material to ASPG. There have also been more police call-outs. In addition, the committee will know that they undertook a site visit before deciding to reject the last application. If this extension goes ahead, it will only exacerbate an already intolerable situation for residents and create more work for the other parts of the council and the police. An appeal we know has been lodged with the government inspector, and his or her decision will be given in due course. But this committee can reject this application at this time, as has been done before. I ask, therefore, on behalf of residents, that the committee confirms their previous decision to reject this application. I'd also like to repeat what I said last night. Would members of this committee wish to live in such an environment? Or would they wish their relatives or their friends to do so? If not, they should not condemn the residents of St. Peter's Gardens and the Brandons to so much disturbance and stress. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to speak against this application.
Thank you, Councillor. Well done. And I'm going to invite Alan Marshall, who is our Community Safety Officer. Thank you.
Good evening, Chair, and members of the Planning Committee. As Councillor Cook has stated, we have had various complaints around antisocial behaviour at the existing development, and some of that is regarding the individuals that are placed there. Some of them have very complex needs, some of them less so. And yes, they do have a right to live in the community and be supported to live as independent lives as they possibly can. We are using the antisocial behaviour legislation to tackle the issues, and that has been complicated in the fact that some of the residents do not have capacity to make informed decisions. So if we have a case of antisocial behaviour elsewhere, we will use the legislation and we will direct the use of that legislation towards the individuals who are causing the antisocial behaviour. Obviously, if you have somebody who doesn't have capacity to make an informed decision, we can't use that legislation against that said individual. But what you can do is you can look at agencies who would have a bearing and an impact on that behaviour. And as such, we are using that legislation to serve what is called a community protection warning on both aspirations and inclusion, because they can have a direct impact on that individual or individuals' various behaviour. So I hope that clarifies the situation.
Thanks, Helen. Right, so it's all down to management by aspirations and to the last degree. Over to members now to speak. Who wishes to go first? Councillor McNaughton.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak. When I first started reading this report, I was quite sympathetic to the need of that type of accommodation and people to offer that in the community. And but then as we progressed down and got to the Stafford Borough Community Safety page, page 42, I was quite shocked when I read about the amount of antisocial behaviour. For instance, it said one resident had to be moved because of the impact it had on one of the residents of the accommodation, because of the impact it had on one of the residents of the nearby. The person had to be moved. And as Councillor Cook was saying, you know, it was like to live next door to that, and I certainly wouldn't, so I would vote against it. I'm feeling on the grounds of the antisocial behaviour.
Yeah, okay, Helen's going to add a bit more information.
Can I clarify? It was a resident of the supported accommodation that was moved, not another resident who lived there prior to the development. So it was deemed the
So this would be someone occupying a property that is managed by Aspirations.
That's correct.
Okay. Who else wants to go?
Mr. Chairman.
Did you make a proposal, Councillor McDonald?
Sorry,
did you make a proposal?
Yeah, I'd like to propose that we reject the application.
Okay. Anyone want to second that first?
What's the reason, Chairman?
Yeah, I'd like to address the reasons.
Basically, on the impact on the local community from the antisocial behaviour. And I think the fact that the community safety team have to keep working with, I think in the future it'll just be an ongoing problem, and fair enough, they might be able to. They might just be able to put things in progress, but it'll just go on and on.
So, Councillor James.
I'm very sympathetic to the concerns of the residents and fully support them, and I would second as rejecting this application. The issue I have is I don't know on what grounds we can reject it, unless I can have some support from the legal department as to how or what we can put forward as a rejection. Please.
In relation to going against a recommendation, the committee has to have a justified planning reason, and you are considering the application as it is. You are not considering the application in light of what is already in existence. This is a standalone application, and there is no evidence presented to suggest that there would be any antisocial behaviour increase risk any more than any other household or development. The issues are tenant specific, and that is a matter for the landlord and care agencies to sort out. That is not necessarily a legitimate planning consideration. I have to remind the committee that when you are going against the recommendations of the officers, you need to be mindful that there is likely to be an appeal against the decision, and if you don't have a justifiable planning reason, your decision will be overturned. And we will be awarded costs against us for the decision.
Thank you. Do we vote?
There's other things
that we should do. Thank you, Councillor Spencer.
I think the officers raising concern that was brought up on the previous application is that, as far as I'm aware, this committee permitted the development of the original, what we're talking about, the antisocial behaviour, is now past it. So I have an issue that I think it potentially would be overturned because we have already allowed the previous development to take place. That is my concern on this. If we do decide to not pass it, that we almost remove the ability to add further conditions that may lessen the impact of this development. If it does go to appeal, it will go through without any input from ourselves to be able to lessen any impact. That's my concern.
Something, Richard?
Okay,
Richard.
Thank you, members. It says within the report that the previous reason for refusal for an almost identical scheme that committee resolved to refuse. So you do have that as a kind of a fallback position in that from the discussion to now, part of that you're actually introducing a new ground for refusal. If you are likely to go down the same road as that, what I would perhaps suggest that members consider is that if I read out the previous reason, so the proposed development will result in an over-intensification of the site by virtue of its inclusion with the adjacent established assisted living development, resulting in detrimental impacts to the amenity and well-being of neighbouring residents due to lack of on-site parking. And antisocial behaviour is therefore contrary to a number of policies and paragraphs with the MPPF. I find that there are two issues that we need to perhaps think about first. One is that in considering this application as a standalone application, we have to consider it on its own individual merits, so we can't link it to the other side. And also in terms of the car parking provision, the Highway Authority are not objecting to the proposal, and car parking provision is satisfied under local land car parking standards. It appears to be the management of those spaces which is causing some concern. So if you're minded to resolve to refuse the application, I would suggest that you go down the same line as what was previously proposed in terms of the antisocial behaviour act. And you could use the same paragraph within the MPPF, although that number has changed. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Kenny?
Yes, I mean, nothing's really changed my mind from the last time we looked at the previous application. I know it's a separate application. But I still think this is actually over intensification. I mean, we used the term of the site by virtue of its inclusion with the adjacent assisted living development. Well, if we can't refer to that, then surely it's over intensification of that type of development, regardless of what's around it, or regardless of it not being included in the adjacent.
To the adjacent development should be removed from any potential reason for refusal now. So could I just have a scribble here, maybe slightly wrong, but you might get the gist of it. So the proposed development would result in an over-intensification site, resulting in detrimental impacts to the immunity and well-being of neighbouring residents due to antisocial behaviour.
And the lack of on-site power.
Well,
Okay.
It doesn't mean the full commission is safe, so.
Okay, well, we'd have to remove
that. I would agree that wouldn't be a sustainable ground.
Councillor Anne Hobbs.
There's also the matter of pollution and noise pollution in that area, which is going to be compounded, isn't it, by a second site.
Can I comment on that point you made by Councillor Hobbs? Refer to page 41, 5.11, which says air source heat pumps off of the proposal, no details provided. And it says about technical specifications for noise, etc. But then page 42, the Environmental Health Officer says only in order for equipment to be left running outside the allowed working hours. So these two points are in direct conflict with each other. You can't have an air source heat pump running, and also then have the environmental to say you wouldn't want any portable equipment to be left running. So that's kind of a, I would say, that relates into the noise issue with this development.
So, in terms of the ground source heat pump, we do have a condition which controls it. Well, in terms of the machinery running outside of working hours, that's a different type of condition which refers to construction activities. And so you're looking at the construction phase for that one, and then the operational phase for the heat source.
It certainly doesn't make that clear. It doesn't say construction.
Any more? Before we go to the vote, proposed by Councillor Andy McNaughton, seconded by Councillor Roy James, to refuse the application on the grounds of the effect of immunity on neighbouring properties. And what's that effect?
What Councillor Kenny said to
just going to ask Lucy to repeat to you what she has said to me.
Thank you, Chair. In relation to the table vote, it is a refusal proposed by Councillor McNaughton and seconded by Councillor James for refusal on the impact on residents linking to behaviour within the community. Councillor James just made reference to over intensification, which was put forward by Councillor Kenny. Because the original proposal did not include the over intensification, it is down to Councillor McNaughton and Councillor James to put forward whether they wish to include that in the motion that they were putting forward.
Yes, I wish to include it in the motion.
Councillor James.
Right, so that proposal and seconded to refuse for those reasons just spelled out. All those, please show. That's unanimous. Application. Sorry, Councillor. Did you refuse or have you abstained?
Abstained,
okay, sorry. So one abstention and nine for refusal. Thank you very much, everyone. If members of the public are leaving us, please do so as quietly as you can because we wish to continue. Newcastle Road, Ecclesfield. follow-up number 5, Home Farm Core Industry. Page 63, appeal dismissed for number 8, Hamilton Road, Stafford. That is the end of that part.